Amen. You may be seated. Thank you, Gary, again. I had visions of David facing all sorts of battles while you were singing those songs because, most of the psalms that he wrote were not written in the palace and the lap of luxury. They were written in the face of battle, in caves and hiding and all sorts of things. And that's, I think, when God is closest to us and is most real to us is when we're going through tough times. And David certainly had his share of those tough times, and we get to enjoy the relationship that he had with the Lord as we read through those psalms and sing through those psalms. So it's good to be reminded of that. Well, Karen and I had a chance to go to Florida this past week, and with all the kids, and we rented a big old house down in the Orlando area, and just had a great time. It was just a wonderful week. We all got good and sunburned and enjoyed that. And I'll tell you what, I appreciate the weather up here so much when I came back. It was really hot down there. Somebody says, was it humid? I said, well, it's just hot. It's just plain old hot. I couldn't tell if it was humid or not. But we had a great time. We didn't know for sure if we was going to get back in time for services today. In fact, as of midnight last night, we still didn't know if we were going to get back here in time for the services. But we finally got out of the airport. We had several delays on our plane, but it was reassuring to know that we had a couple of men who were going to be here for us today, Frank Vance and Tom Puckett, and who are part of the Gideons. And it was just relaxing to know that if I didn't make it, everything is going to be okay anyway. But I did want to get back and hear what you guys had to say. It's always exciting. I've known both of them, and they both knew my father very well. So, guys, if you want to come on up, I don't know how. I think, Frank, you're going to start maybe.
Yeah.
If you want to come on up and share with us what's going on in the Gideon's movement right now.
Well, Tom will do most of the sharing of what he can read the statistics and what have you and show you some stuff on the screen. I just wanted to thank you all for inviting us. The pickings, as I told the pastor, have been slim and none during COVID for the Gideons. We've continued to do our work, but we've really missed the partnership of our churches who support us. And we do appreciate you all supporting this ministry. It is a great ministry. And we're just crazy enough to believe the Bible is important, and it's the Word of God. And I wanted to share that with you. My son and daughter and their families went to the beach with us week before last and down to North Myrtle. We had our 10 grandchildren. Needless to say, it was a very trying time. My wife's still trying to recover from it. We had from 17-year-old grandson to a grandson and daughter twins who are 9 months old, so you can imagine everything in between. So we were about afraid to let them get too far out in the ocean, you know. So we were chasing kids, and I, of course, didn't help matters. Me and my brother-in-law, he was with me, and he had, between both of us, we only got one good eye, so we ended up getting lost on the beach. And my granddaughters finally found me. But anyway, it was a wonderful time, a time we'll remember. I wanted to share with you, while I was there, I was talking to a person, and I won't talk about their name, but they're a little different denomination than you all are. I am, and I'd mentioned something about believing the Bible. And this person said, well, I believe the red letters. And I thought to myself, you just believe the red letters? I believe the whole Bible. Every jot, every tittle, every word. If it's misunderstood, it's misunderstood on my part. For I believe our Creator, who created this universe, is certainly able to create the Bible to where that we could accept Jesus Christ. That's just how I feel about it. It reminds me of a joke I heard, and I thought I'd share with you. I remember, and said this lady had this seminary minister, their minister had gone on a trip, and they had invited the young seminary professor to come and talk at the local church. And he got up and he said, "Well, we've been studying in seminary. We've been studying how about the Red Sea and the children of Israel crossing the Red Sea." He said, "In my Hebrew studies, we've decided that it wasn't the Red Sea, it was the Sea of Reeds. It was not the Red Sea that they crossed." And the little lady in the back said, "Praise God." He said, "Ma'am, I don't think you understand. The Sea of Reeds really was just a swamp. It really wasn't a Red Sea." She said, "Praise God." He said, "Ma'am, I don't think you understand. I'm telling you, they crossed a swamp, not a sea." And she said, "Well, that's even more important." Said they said God drowned Pharaoh's army in 6 inches of water. So I guess I'm crazy like that little old lady. I believe the Bible. And I believe it was the Red Sea. And I believe those miracles really are miracles. And I don't believe they were made up. And I believe every word and every jot and every tittle. And I believe it's very important for people to get the Bible. And because of that, Tom's going to give you a good testimony, and he's going to give you some good statistics of what we've tried to do here in Avery County, as well as what Gideons are doing around the world. And I think you'll enjoy that. Before I do that, though, I wanted to tell you all how much I appreciate, and Tom appreciates, being to be here. I feel like coming home when I'm in Green Valley or in the Three Mile. And sometime you'll have to ask me to come back and give you the history of this valley if you're really interested. And that has nothing to do with the Bible, but it has a lot to do with the families that live here and this wonderful land we live in. Just to give you a taste of it, some of you may not realize this 1,200 acres in this valley was the second grant given west of the Blue Ridge. And so our families, those Wisemans and those that live here, the Davises, the Wisemans, even the Childs that were originally here, and the Phillipses, and many of you are kin to them one way or the other, Taylors, some of the first families in this area. And I hate for this history to be lost, because it's one of the most interesting valleys, and Green Valley is, I think, west of the Blue Ridge. Sometime you'll have to ask me to come back and talk to you about, and I got this from my Uncle Meyer in Houston. Some of you may know of him. He used to keep Sunnybrook store down at the lower end of the county, and he had ledgers, and my cousin has been translating them, so I've learned a lot. I'd like to share it with you sometime if you want to invite me back and just talk about history of the area. I think a lot of it you would enjoy. You may not realize it, but there was a church not far from here, 1830, right below where Gladys just was raised, that was called New Hope Church, and it was burned down in 1830, around 1835. But anyway, I didn't even realize that church existed, and then it really freaked me out when I looked across the creek and from where it was, and there's a little church there called New Hope. So somebody must have known about that history before I did. But anyway, I'm going to turn it over to Tom now. And I wanted to say this. Rachel, Rebecca, Mary, Joe, and all of you, Emma, I thank you for the breakfast, all of you ladies, for the breakfast we had this morning. And I just think back of our memories in school, going through school together. I'll have to share this on the girls before I sit down. I never will forget, we were in, I believe it was the fifth grade, girls, when Miss Buchanan at that time, she was later Miss Pittman, got mad at us, and I can't remember what it was over. I believe Rachel and Rebecca might have been the start of it, I'm not sure. But she stood us all up and gave us all a whipping, the whole class. And that's the only class I was ever in my whole life, and all of us got a whipping. But anyway, I want to turn it over to Tom now. Thank you for having us.
Like Frank, I'd like to say thank y'all for having us, for letting us to come and speak and present the Gideon Ministry. First of all, let me find my thing here. First of all, thank you for breakfast. Oh, now, I will admit, I told my mom not to cook breakfast. I was going to have breakfast here at the church. Well, Mom's memory's not too good. But that's okay, because my belly is quite big. So I survived it. Well, first of all, in talking about the Gideons, our theme for the past couple of years has been one vision. And the idea is to be working with the churches. We're not separate from the churches, but working with the churches. Okay. Yeah, I'm sorry. Okay. 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 Can you hear me? Can you hear me now? Oh, sound like a telephone commercial. But working with the churches. It's not working. Can you do the slide? I'm sorry. Okay. First of all, I wanted to kind of tell you kind of who the Gideons are. And the reason I want to do this is a few years ago in the church, we got up and we spoke, and I actually handed out some Bibles to some of the young kids in the church. And a guy came up to me after service. He said, "Well, I didn't know who the Gideons were. I'd seen those Bibles in hotels, and I'd never look at one because I thought it's some kind of a cult." Well, we're not some kind of a cult. What the Gideons is, it's made up of professional businessmen who are Christian. And our goal is to see people saved. And one of the main things we want to emphasize is that the Bible is the inspired, inerrant, and infallible Word of God. There is no mistake in our Bible. God wrote it. It was breathed by Him. And that is one of the things we believe, is as Frank was talking about, if we believe in the Bible. And we want to see people saved, to come to the knowledge of Christ as their Savior, and believe that one way to do that is through getting His Word out. Okay. In speaking, this is one of the verses I like to really point out while we're speaking, because we do want to work with the churches. As Paul was writing to the church at Philippi, and he was planning on coming and visit him. And Philippians is real cool, because he told them how much he loved them and how much of a blessing they were to him. Okay. Yeah, need someone who knew what was doing. So I'm really surprised I did it. But Paul was going to go visit Philippi. And in writing to him, I mean, this is a place where he is stoned and thrown in prison. But he talked about how he loved every memory of them. And he said to him, "Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel." And that's what we want to do as Gideons, is we want to stand with the church in one spirit, and in one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Another verse I always like to talk about when I talk for the Gideons is 2 Corinthians 4:3. "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost." We've got the very Word of God.
If the world doesn't get it, it's because we haven't given it to them. If the world is hidden from the gospel, it's because we have not shined the gospel. And if it's hidden, it's hidden to them that are lost. See, I'm going to skip this. Let me go back one. I had testimony there, but I don't think the sound would work. So I want to talk about a Gideon Bible that was placed. A boy tried to commit suicide. An Indian boy in India, not American Indian, but in India. His father was a Hindu who believed in Brahma and Vishnu, all those thousands of Hindu gods. And his mother was a Christian. So this boy had decided, since both of them can't be right, they both must be wrong. And he had come to the conclusion that there is no God, and in his despair had tried to kill himself. While he's in the hospital, the doctor told his mom, "We can heal his body, but we cannot make him want to live." Well, while he was there, a friend of his mother's came into the hospital with a New Testament. And this friend of his mother's said, "I want you to give this to Ravi and tell him that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life." And so that boy started reading that New Testament and was saved. That boy is Ravi Zacharias, who just died a couple of years ago. And no telling how many people were led to Christ through his ministry. So every testament that's handed out, there's no telling what that testament might do. Well, Gideons today are in 200 countries, territories, and possessions, and distribute Bibles in 109 languages. When we say that Gideons are in a country, that means people who live there are Gideons. We have one country where Gideons can go in and hand out Bibles, but then they have to leave because no one in that country is allowed to be a Gideon. That's the People's Republic of China, which is still communist. And if someone in China tried to become a Gideon and join an international religious organization, they would be put in prison. But in 200 countries, Gideons are in these countries. And we publish Bibles in 109 languages. The world distribution. Okay. 29.2 million Bibles were distributed ending last year. I don't have this year's numbers yet. That's why I don't have them up. The year before was barely over 17 million. Now, before COVID, the last year before COVID was over 84 million Bibles were passed out. So COVID had really restricted the number of Bibles we have been able to get out to the world. 3.9 million were distributed in the United States. I don't know if you can see these numbers, but most of the Bibles distributed were distributed in Asia, over 16 million. Okay. And in the U.S., the largest number of Bibles that are handed out are youth Bibles in schools and stuff like that. Then college, then hospitals, hotels, personal witnessing to servicemen, like Frank gave a bunch to the VFW and stuff like that, and other facilities. Today we also have a Gideon Bible app to where if you happen to have, well, I did have a phone. If you happen to have a phone, I hope I still have one, is we have an app where you can go on with the phone or your computer. Gideon's developed this in 2015. Since then, there's been over 200,000 downloads. The Gideon app presents God's Word in over 1,300 languages. And our audio Bible, so you can hear the Bible in your own language. Similar to the scriptures we use in witnessing, the app features the plan of salvation at the back of the New Testaments we hand out, back of the hotel Bibles. It gives the plan of salvation with John 3:16 and the Romans Road. So anyone can find out how to have a personal relationship with Christ. To find out more about the Gideon Bible app, go to gideons.bible.is. It took 93 years for Gideon's to hand out the first 1 billion scriptures. The second billion scriptures was handed out in less than 14 years. And currently, we are about 2.4 billion scriptures have been handed out by Gideon's. There are international scripture blitzes. What a scripture blitz is where a group of Gideons will go into a country for a week or 2 weeks just trying to hand out as many Bibles and go into as many schools or as many jails, as many hospitals as they can in about a 2 week period. A scripture blitz. And most of these countries, places like Malaysia, Peru, places that are poor, a lot of these are Catholic countries because the Catholic Church does not believe that you should have a copy of the Bible. They believe a priest needs to be able to explain it to you. A lot of countries we go into, like Indonesia, are Muslim countries. So a lot of these countries we go into are places where it would be very hard for people to get a Bible without us being able to go in. Worldwide, more than 73% of the Bibles that we hand out are handed out to schools and colleges, to students. Yeah. I like this picture, but I've had it for a couple of years. Still don't know what language that is. One way to send scripture is through the Gideon card donation. What the Gideon cards are is, like I got one right here, where you have one of these cards, and with the card is an envelope to send money to us to buy Bibles. Bibles are about $5 a piece for like our hotel Bibles. And so you send someone a card and send us the money, and you can buy Bibles in that person's name through the Gideon card program. And that is a one way that we have been able, that's one of the best ways we've raised money here in Avery County, is through the Gideon card program. There was one church we went into, and they had a Gideon card rack at the back, and Frank and Paul, I think, were going to refill the card rack. And all the cards were gone, but all the little envelopes where you send money to buy Bibles were still in it. So please, if you send the Gideon card and say, we're going to buy 5 Bibles in your name, send us the money so we can buy 5 Bibles in their name. You know, just say it. That helps. In 1/3 of the countries where Gideon's International is organized, people may never own or even see a copy of God's Word without our help. We're talking especially Muslim countries and a lot of poor countries in Africa. This is a picture of people in Kenya. The reason they put the Bibles on the back of bicycles is the school they're going to, you can't out access with a car. So they put them on bicycles to get there. World population today is 7.9 billion. Before the end of this year, there will be more than 8 billion people on Earth. Of that 8 billion people, two-thirds of them are not Christian of any kind. One-third of the people in the world call themselves Christian. I contend that not everyone who calls himself a Christian has truly accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior. At least two-thirds of the world is lost. I think it's more than that. Yes. So think about that. In England, only 10% of people to go to church. That's where we get our Christian heritage from, is from England. Do we not see the same thing happening in the United States? This is going to sound terrible, but Frank and I go in a lot of churches. Most of the churches we go in have very few young people. Are we not going the same way as that? So when we're talking about getting the Bibles out, we're wanting to get the Bibles out to the world. We need to get the scripture out. We need to get God's word out here. This isn't just an international organization. This is a homeland organization too. Get in, share God's word in prisons. In fact, in the Avery prison, we go into the Avery prison every Saturday, and we actually, Cross North Baptist actually buys a Bible that has a larger print than the Gideon Bibles, because in the prison they take their glasses away. So, you know, people were complaining to Frank that they couldn't read the Bibles, so we started getting a Bible with a larger print. Okay. Well, what Frank is talking about, he said, at the prison in Newland, at the county jail, there's about 24 men in jail, but only one of them came out to hear the Gideons yesterday. About 9 women, but and about 4 came out to hear the Gideons.
$1,500 a year from the Cross North Baptist to provide those Bibles to the jail.
So the Bibles we're taking to the jail are a larger print Bible than what the Gideons print. Yeah. In fact, if you get these New Testaments, you have to have better vision than me to read them. That's why we give them to kids. Well, we provide Bibles in jails. We also, to people that serve our communities, like we always give Bibles in Avery County. We give them these military Bibles. Really, we give to like the EMTs, the paramedics, people like that. In August 2014, the Gideons set up a program they call Friends of Gideons. This is if you don't want to be a Gideon, but you want to support the Gideon ministry. And when we look at Friends of Gideons, we look at it two ways. One way is the prayer partner. And we do not take prayer lightly. If you don't have the time, you don't have the money, please remember the ministry in prayer. Also, you have the option to partner with us by sharing scriptures and participating in select Gideon events, financial partners. In fact, we've had people who were not Gideons who've helped hand out Bibles at the high school before. A man who's not a Gideon goes with Frank every week to the jail. A minister goes with him every week. So people who are not Gideons still working with the Gideons. Would you like to be a Gideon? Members of the Gideons International are selected by the organization based on the recommendations of pastors in a given area. A prospective Gideon must be a Christian, a businessman or former businessman, or other professional, at least 21 years old and male. See, and I want to end with from Isaiah. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. I thank you.
I'm going to ask Tom. I forgot to read my scripture, being as I can't see. But in talking about the red letter thing that happened to me on the beach, I realized one of the things that disproves the Bible, that it's just the red letters that are important. And I asked Tom to look up the scripture in Numbers and in John. And most of you remember the story about Moses in the wilderness with the brazen serpent that was raised up. And nowhere in the Old Testament does it tell you why you did that, but Jesus tells us why in John 3, 14 and 15. So to me, the question is asked in the Old Testament, it's answered in the New. That tells me that the Old Testament and the New Testament are very important. They're the Holy Scriptures, not the Holy New Testament, and not the Holy Old Testament. It's all together. It's very important that we believe that. Go ahead.
This is Numbers chapter 21, and I'm going to start in verse 4. Let me go ahead and say before I start, God had just delivered Israel from the Canaanites. And they celebrated a great victory. But they had to go through some hardships because they could not go through Edom. They had to go along the coast, along the border of Edom. Verse 4. And they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom. And the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. And the people spake against God and against Moses. Wherefore have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loatheth this light bread. And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. Therefore the people came to Moses and said, We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpents from us. And Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said unto Moses, Make thee a fiery serpent, and set up upon a pole. And it shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live. And Moses made a serpent of brass, and he put it on a pole. And it came to pass that if a serpent had bit any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived.
Now the answer is to why God required that. John 3.
In John 3, 14, 15, while Jesus is speaking to Nicodemus. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life.
Thank you, Tom. I'm going to tell one little story and we'll conclude this. I heard a little story that made a lot of sense to me, and I hope it makes sense to you. So this little boy got his dad's toolkit down, and he built a little ship. Took him several weeks. And it was a very intricate little ship, a little sailing vessel. He took it down to the local lake to try it out. He set it down in the water, and boy, it just took off, skipping across the water. And he run along the lake's edge trying to see it, but it finally went out of sight, and he couldn't find his boat. Several weeks later, he's downtown at the store, and he noticed in the store window his little ship sitting in the window for sale. He goes running in to see the storekeeper, and he says, "Sir," he said, "I made that ship. That's my ship." And the storekeeper said, "Well, I'm sorry. Somebody else sold it to me, so you'll have to buy it if you want it back." So he went back home, broke his piggy bank open, asked his mama for his allowance. He went back and he bought the little ship back. And as he's walking away, he's heard to say, "Well, I made you. Now I've bought you back. You're doubly mine." So I think that that's what God has done for us. He made us through Jesus Christ. He's bought us back with his blood. We're doubly his now, folks. God bless you. Thank you for having us.
Thank you, Frank. On your cards, Tom, did you have some? Okay. So just to make sure I understand, the cards are mailed out to our friends or our loved ones or whatever. Right. And we mail you the money so that you can provide the Bibles that the cards say are going to be provided.
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Yes. Yes, that would be a great thing to do for funerals. I'd make an impact that lasts for eternity instead of a flower that lasts about a few hours, basically. Okay. Well, thank you guys so much for coming and sharing with us the importance of the written word cannot be underestimated. I was thinking of, as you were talking, Tom, I was thinking of Augustine, who lived in the 500s, one of the first great church theologians that has ever been, and still considered one of the greatest theologians of all time, got started in his ministry when he heard a voice from heaven say, "Take up and read. Read the Bible." And this was right after the Bible had basically first been put together, and he was struggling with all sorts of temptation, sexual temptation, things like that. And when he was told to take up the Bible and read it, that's what changed his whole life. And from that point on, he became, like I said, probably the greatest theologian in the church history. So the Bible can do all kind of work that we can't do. It's just the power is in the Word. I think you said, Tom, something about, you know, the verse that says, "Cast your bread on the water, and it won't return void." So this gives us a chance to do something that scripturally says we're guaranteed a good return for our investment. So if you want to see, you're holding the cards yourself, right? Grab a card or two from Tom, and if you've got somebody that you want to mm-hmm. We usually just leave them on this table right behind the last row here. And if you want to leave something there, that would be great. Okay. Well, I do want to hear you come back and share about the history of this valley and this area too, Sir Frank. So I just, that's exciting. I look forward to that. And you can maybe bring back some more cards when you do that. Okay. Right, I understand. Yes, yeah, even on a Wednesday night too. Bud, you want to come on, start working your way up here, and we'll get ready for our final hymn. But thank you guys. It's always exciting to hear what's going on. We are in the last days, and we need to be doing what we can to get this word out. And
we didn't mention, but we handed out 630 testaments to our school system this year, and
630 in the Avery, okay, and 60 in Cloudland. So that's great. That's the greatest chance that kids have to get saved are in their teenage years. So we want to take advantage of that. Okay, we are going to have hymn number 394 if you want to turn there in your hymn books.